Please turn in your pew Bibles with me to the book of Proverbs, this morning. Proverbs chapter 31. I'll begin reading at verse 10 and reading to the end of that chapter, which is the end of Proverbs itself. Proverbs 31. This is God's holy word. Let's listen closely as it's read. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. We'll end our reading there. If you'd keep your Bibles open, we'll refer to that passage several times this morning. Well, imagine most of you have heard the phrase Generation Z, or short, Gen Z. Some of you here in the room are considered by many in our day to belong to that generation, Gen Z. If you're wondering whether you do or not, if you were born somewhere between 1997 and 2012, you are considered a Gen Zer. And of all the things that are being said about Gen Z individuals, whether good or bad, one of the most troubling things that sociologists are noticing about that generation is that it will be considered on the annals of history to be the motherless generation. The motherless generation. You might wonder, why would they say that? Well, many from this generation are putting off the responsibilities and the mantle of motherhood. They are putting off getting married. They are putting off having a family, largely because they look at motherhood, they look at being a wife as something that is unattractive, something that simply gets in the way of what they really want to do in life and who they really want to be in life. It's not surprising also in light of this that abortion rates among Gen Zers are particularly high, as are divorce rates, which is producing yet another generation of motherless children. But in the midst of our culture that seems to think little of motherhood, think little of being a faithful wife in the home, the Bible, God's Word, His infinite wisdom, gives us a grand, beautiful picture or vision of motherhood and what it means to be a wife. And so we're going to look at Proverbs 31 this morning. It's a wisdom poem that praises the woman who fears the Lord. But there's something else about this passage that's very unique. In the Hebrew, this passage, the verses that I just read, are in the form of an acrostic. Now, boys and girls, that might not ring a bell in your mind when I say the word acrostic, but I bet you've made an acrostic in school at some point. Perhaps your teacher told you to write on a blank piece of paper the letters M-O-T-H-E-R, mother, and you spelled that down the page. And your teacher asked you to say several things about your mother that start with those letters. And so you write M-O-T-H-E-R down the page. And for M, you write master of multitasking. That's my mom. O, outstanding beauty. For the T, tight hugger. For the H, heart of gold. For E, encourager. And then for R, right, because she's always right. Well, this passage in Proverbs is an acrostic. It's just like that. There's 22 verses. Each of them starts with a consecutive letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which has 22 letters. And the inspired writer of this poem sets out to praise a godly woman. Basically, he finds 22 praiseworthy things to say about the excellent woman. But you notice in verse 10, where the section begins, and verse 29, which is sort of towards the end, the woman's excellence is praised, but perhaps a better word is her valiance, her heroic virtue. That's what's being praised here in this passage. And everything that the writer says here between verses 10 and 31 illustrate that virtuous, that valiant, that heroic character of the godly woman. So we're going to look at that character this morning, the kind of woman that God delights in, the kind of woman that God is making by the work of His Holy Spirit, the kind of woman that all Christian women should aspire to be by the grace and the strength of God. First, what is the reason for this woman's valiance? The writer of the inspired poem begins in verse 10 with this: an excellent or a valiant, heroically virtuous wife, who can find? She's far more precious than jewels. The writer says a wife like this, a woman like this, is a rare treasure. She's more precious and valuable than the greatest riches to be found on earth. But why? What is it that makes this woman described here so worthy of praise? What's the reason for her valiance? The answer comes at the end of the parable in verse 30. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, it's fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. That's the reason for her heroic virtue. She fears God. And indeed, that's the theme of the entire book of Proverbs, isn't it? We go to the beginning of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord, reverence for God, is the beginning of true knowledge and wisdom. And the valiant woman embodies that wisdom that's taught through this entire book. It's that quality, her reverence for God, that makes her more virtuous, more valuable than all the rest. It's not her being worldly wise. It's not in her charming disposition. It's not that she's fashionable. Her beauty, her heroic virtue is spiritual. It's a deep, unchanging truth that she fears God. She knows God. She believes His word with a holy awe. She lives before God with a reverence and a humility that all can see. She knows her sin and her unworthiness, and she repents and trusts God for her forgiveness and salvation. She bows meekly before the Word of God and submits all of her life to God's will. All outward beauty, all human praise is empty, it's vain, it's fleeting compared to this. The internal beauty of a quiet, gentle spirit of faith and love for God, Peter says in 1 Peter 3, that is in God's sight the most precious of all things. That's the beauty of the praiseworthy woman. the valiant woman, that she fears God. And we notice as we go on that this quality of godly wisdom doesn't remain a private matter, but it shows itself in everything that she does, everything that she says, in all of her actions and choices. Everything she does, everything she is governed by her fear, her reverence for the Lord. A lot of this parable is devoted to the labor of the valiant woman. You notice that as I read this, it's devoted to what she does, what she says. Verses 13 to 27 paint an impressive portrait, you might say, of her excellence, how she puts her God-fearing virtues to work in the service of her family, in the service of others. There's a lot that we could talk about here. I'm going to give us just sort of an overview of this woman's heroic virtue, and then I want to point us to two things in particular. The inspired poet praises the woman for her hard-working, industrious character. In verse 27, the second half of that verse, we read, she doesn't eat the bread of idleness. She's not lazy. She doesn't lay around the house all day. But rather, verse 13, she works hard to seek out wool and flax. She works with willing hands to clothe her family. In verse 14, she's compared to merchant ships that bring food from far-off lands. In other words, she's driven, she's creative, she puts thought into what she prepares for her family to sustain them. It's not TV dinners every night. She even rises in the night to prepare food for her household, says verse 15. In verse 18, she works late into the night on behalf of her family. Verse 19, she demonstrates her practical skills by sewing clothes for her household, which she does joyfully, willingly. In verse 24, she's praised for her skills out in the field of commerce and her ability to speak interpersonally with others. She conducts business in the public square. She manages the family finances on occasion, and she does it well. She's frugal. She's careful. And in verse 20, we read that not only does she do all this for her household, but she also cares for those outside of her home. Look at verse 20 with me. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. In other words, the valiant woman puts her godly wisdom to work, not just in the home, but also in the diligent service of others around her. She's not sitting around the house with her ear glued to her phone, or surfing the internet, or keeping up with gossip on Facebook or Instagram, or doting over herself in front of the mirror constantly. No, she's an industrious, hard-working woman who is compelled in everything that she does by the fear and reverence of God. I want you to notice two special things from this portrait. The first is this, that the valiant woman is obedient to God's will for her as a woman and a wife and a mother. Look at me at verses 11 and 12. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. In obedience to Christ's command in Ephesians 5 that wives should properly submit to their husbands in the Lord, the valiant woman is a faithful, devoted companion of her husband. He trusts her. He confides in her. He seeks her wisdom and support in his work as well as in family life. And she does him good and not harm all the days of his life. She has his interests in mind. And because of this, her husband has a good reputation with the leaders of the city. Look at verse 23 with me. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. In other words, this valiant woman, she doesn't take away from her husband's reputation. so that you might say, well, you know, that man would be wonderful as an office bearer in the church. He'd be a good leader in the city, except I'm a little nervous about his wife. No, you look at him and you say, that is a godly man with a fine family and a home and a godly, supportive wife who loves him. He's qualified to serve. She respects and loves her husband, and she's a homemaker. Verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She is industrious. She's a loving homemaker, and she does her work willingly and joyfully. The virtuous woman does not see her children and her husband as an inconvenience. She does not see her home life as a nuisance, as a roadblock to who she really wants to be and what she really wants to do in life. But she lives for her children. She lives for her husband in a self-sacrificing love after the example set by our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first thing. She is obedient to God's will for her as a woman, wife, and mother. But secondly, I want you to notice this. She demonstrates her godly virtue in her speech. She demonstrates her heroic virtue in her speech. Look with me at verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. The valiant woman, the woman that pleases God, is not foolish or careless in her speech, but speaks carefully and thoughtfully. In her home with the children, in the way that she talks to her husband, in the way that she talks about her husband, in what she shares with others about their life, she is measured. And she's wise. And she's kind. She doesn't use words as weapons to tear down and destroy others, but she uses words as tools to build up and encourage. She's not a woman of gossip and slander, but the law of kindness, the law of love, guides the way she uses her tongue. That's the portrait of the valiant woman in action. Now, I realize that after looking at this portrait of the excellent woman, many of you women in the congregation might be thinking, well, I'm now thoroughly depressed because I don't match up to that glorious vision of heroic virtue. How could I possibly match up to this lofty portrait of excellence? I can barely keep my kids from running out of the front door naked, let alone take up business transactions in the public square. How could I possibly meet this high standard for a godly woman? Well, I want you to understand the purpose of this poetic portrait that the inspired poet gives us. I don't want to remove this portrait from the historical realm. I don't want to make this woman fictitious. But we have to realize that this profile of an excellent woman, the so-called Proverbs 31 woman, is an ideal. The book of Proverbs is filled with such character types or caricatures, portraits of people with exemplary virtues or weaknesses, but sometimes those are exaggerated virtues or weaknesses. It's a positive caricature that we have here of a godly woman. It's an ideal for us to pray towards, to guide our conduct as we seek to form our characters according to God's perfect wisdom. But the woman of Proverbs 31, you must understand, embodies all of the ideals of wisdom listed in the entire book of Proverbs. She's a caricature. It is not likely, perhaps even possible, that every woman will look exactly like her in every respect on this side of glory. But moms, you might look at this portrait and still say, but that's really not me. I'm not even coming close to that. I'm impatient. with my husband and with my kids. Sometimes I don't get much done around the house. I don't measure up. I feel inadequate. God's word comes to you this morning and says, do not despair. Do not despair. God, in his infinite wisdom and kindness, he knows your weaknesses. He knows your weaknesses and shortcomings, and he gives his promised grace and strength to those who humbly realize their need and ask for it. To those who say, I'm not sufficient in myself. My strength, my faithfulness is simply not enough. To such people who are in need, God gives his sustaining grace. He will answer your prayer. He will begin to work in you by his Holy Spirit to create these historic or heroic virtues in you, to make you a woman like this. We've all, children, husbands, wives alike, fallen short of the perfect pattern that God has set for all of his creatures. But our Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, come in flesh, obeyed perfectly in our place, and he has died perfectly in your place to pay the penalty for your sin, and he has ascended now in heaven in God's presence on account of his own perfection. And because of that, because of his intercession for you in heaven before the Father, because of that, you are as pleasing to God, dear sisters in the Lord, as much on your worst day as your best day. And so place your hope and confidence in Jesus Christ. God's grace in Christ, God's work by his Holy Spirit, that's the source of your valiance, your heroic virtue. And so do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Put your faith and trust in your Savior. But finally, very briefly, notice that God sets aside a gracious reward, a gracious blessing for the valiant woman. Look at me at verse 28 first. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. And then verse 31, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. I've come to realize this more and more since we have had children, that there are many things that my wonderful wife does as a mother, as a wife, that go largely unnoticed by others, including me. But God sees. Don't forget that. God sees. And he, in his infinite kindness, praises you for your diligent labors. In this concluding section of the Proverbs, God says, I see what you do. I see what motherhood involves. I see the self-sacrifice that you make as a wife. God sees, and to those who fear him, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. And God glorifies himself by graciously rewarding faithful women as he prospers the fruit of your hands. It may not be flashy. It may not be noticeable. But moms, here is how he very often prospers your labors. He prospers your many years of motherly care by very often fulfilling his covenant promises to your children so that they embrace the truths of God's word in faith. And I know that that's what you desire more than anything else in this world. He prospers your support of your husbands by strengthening and protecting your marriages. He prospers you, your work through the blessing of children and husbands rising up to praise you and call you blessed. And so we give thanks to God for the irreplaceable, precious gift of God-fearing, virtuous women. And we pray that God will equip you with everything that you need to fulfill the very special calling that you've been given from God. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do give thanks to you that you have blessed us with women, wives, mothers of heroic virtue who have raised us in the fear of the Lord, who continue to uphold us through prayer and kindness and concern. We pray that all those here this morning who have taken up that mantle, that call, would be especially equipped by your Holy Spirit to be faithful in their calling, to be women of virtue, women who work hard and labor, women who support their husbands and love them and speak well of them, who take up the duties of their home with joy and not resentment, and who do so because of their fear and their reverence for you. Lord, equip us all for the unique tasks that you've called us to. May we fulfill them in your strength, by your grace, and for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.